Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I'm so happy to have you here with us, and I do invite you who are new to tuning in. If you'd like to see me and our guest live here on LA Talk Radio, you can actually watch us now, too, on the LA Talk Radio Facebook page. So do feel free to check that out in addition to the other formats that you can find us here on LA Talk Radio, also, of course, on iTunes. So it's a pleasure to have you here with us today. And before I introduce you to our guest, who I was lucky enough to meet in person about 6 months ago in a class together, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors who make today's show possible. The people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary and executive search. So please do keep them in mind for all of your staffing needs. So today, as I mentioned, we have a guest who I was lucky enough to get to do a class with in February of this year, Stephen Sonato. Stephen and I met at a landmark forum class, and he is a huge transformational guy. He was just sharing with me a little bit about his story off air of going through his own personal transformation in 2011, being valedictorian of his school, graduating law school, working for one of the top law firms, and now being an incredible coach and an author. So today we're going to be talking to him about his book, Making Moves: Five Guideposts to Conquer Your Professional Transition. So, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Yes, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yes, and I don't know about any of you out there who are actually tuning in and can see us, but I am already feeling more serene in Stephen's presence. He has a beautiful space that he uses for coaching, so it definitely has me feeling at ease.
Thank you. That was purposeful, the candles especially.
Yeah, it's really interesting being in all of these Zoom meetings. Just last week, we had Dr. Paul Bailo on the show, and he was talking about Zoom meetings and what you need and how important ambiance really is. So you're already nailing that right off the top. But do you tell our viewers and our listeners, so who are out there tuning in wherever and whenever around the world they might be tuning in from, tell them a little bit about your journey. I was so inspired to hear it offline. I would love it if you could share a little bit more with them.
Sure. So I'll begin around 2011. It was a really big turning point for me in my life. I had created my own depth of darkness, and I was at a pretty low point. And one of the best nights of my life happened in the form of a car crash, believe it or not. Wow. I crashed my car while blacked out, drinking, and miraculously walked away almost unscathed completely. Did get arrested, the whole nine, and I woke up the next day with a combination of really painful emotions. And it was a gift because it was enough for me to ask for and receive help, and help I got. I entered a program of recovery, a spectacular program of recovery. I met some of the most extraordinary beings I've ever met in my life, who helped me to grow, to get to know me, to get to love me, to help to serve others and get really clear about what matters most for me. And that put me on the trajectory, which would ultimately set me free. During that transformation is when one of my previous dreams resurfaced, which was to become an attorney. So I was in and out of court. I left one day as a defendant and was having a chat with my attorney. And the possibility of attending law school and becoming an attorney came up in conversation, and it really resonated with me, and I was ready to go for it, and I went for it. I studied for a couple of weeks, took the LSAT, did okay, applied to Rutgers in New Jersey, where I'm from, did okay, but got rejected. So I kept doing what I was doing at that time, which was tap dancing professionally. I was also a personal trainer and a bartender still in sobriety. And someone the following year, who was a member of the gym where I worked, he encouraged me to apply again. So I went home, I applied again, and within a few weeks this time I get in. So now I'm really excited and totally terrified. Reading and writing weren't really my strong suits growing up academically. Now I'm in law school. So I had a whole mix of emotions. And then, to keep it short, I met this judge, really amazing guy, Judge Wright. And he invited me to his church to hear him speak. And his story just inspired me, just lit a match under me. And I felt this incredibly invigorating and powerful energy to use all those years I lived doing what I did as fuel now to create a better life for myself. Mm-hmm. And I went all in. I made a commitment like I had never made before in my life. I was the first person at the library doors before they were even open for 3 years straight. I made a commitment that rather than just aim to survive law school or be middle of the barrel, I was going to gun for the top. And that's how I showed up. And I ended up graduating valedictorian 3 years later and got offered a really wonderful job at a really wonderful firm to practice in their corporate group, where I practice M&A and real estate and some other things. Ultimately, though, I felt like something was still missing for me. So I went on a soul search to find out what it was that makes my heart sing, that makes my soul sing. And then I discovered coaching. So after some time experiencing different emotions and battling fear and guilt and all sorts of stuff internally, I worked up the courage to go for it. And I took a leap of faith in 2018, and it was up, down, all around, and I made it. And I ended up now here. This is my coaching room. I have a full clientele. I have a dream come true experience of living right now. And the best part is that I get to use everything I've experienced through all of it, and the breakthroughs and the breakdowns. I get to use all of it and turn back around and share it in a way to serve others that makes a meaningful and a massive difference in their lives.
I love what you just shared, Stephen. And one thing I want to highlight for anybody either here with us now or tuning in the future is a word that you used a few times, and that word is serve. And believe it or not, I think a lot of us wind up suffering and having lack of fulfillment and happiness in our own lives because we inadvertently take. We just want to take something. Okay, just give me the money. Give me $100,000. Let me pay off my mortgage. Let me pay for my car, put my kids through school. And in doing so, we create a short circuit for ourselves because we're not being of service. And something for anybody out there, I challenge you to play this game with people in your life or even people you hear in the media or see in the media. Notice how they speak about what they do. And notice that the people who seem to have happiness, fulfillment, balance, and even bliss typically are in a role where they feel like they're serving. Serving could be anything. It could be what Stephen's talking about of literally being of service in a coaching capacity. It could be being of service. There could be a garbage guy. My nephew loves garbage trucks, and it's like his dream to be a garbage truck driver when he grows up. And if that's your expression of service, perfect. There is no right or wrong. I just think that's so beautiful, Stephen, that you realized and that you found your way to serve and that that's being made realized through you. And it is amazing, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, that life seems to work for you when you serve. When you serve, then doors open and miracles literally pour forth.
Yes, miracles. It's amazing that you said the word miracle, because I was just about to refer to a line in the book, A Course in Miracles, which says giving is receiving. And to me, it's right on point. When we can serve using the gifts we have, using the gifts we've cultivated through our experience or otherwise, in a way that feels really good, just lights up our experience of life. And in so doing, we receive fulfillment, joy, bliss, one of my favorite words, bliss. And when you said that, I was like, just felt it.
I love it. And it's so funny how sometimes we feel guilty. I know there's been a lot of conversations going on in the world about this, is how can Jennifer Hill and Steve and Sonata be talking about having bliss when there are people dying out there and there's inequality running rampant. But because you have bliss doesn't mean another person has a lack of bliss. When you emulate bliss, you can inspire other people to have bliss, to serve, to find their purpose as well. And I think that when one of us is in the vibration of bliss, it kind of magnifies and amplifies, and bliss spreads out like a wildfire in the most beautiful way. And we all connect to it. So I think that it's not a lack thing. I think when one of us has bliss, it creates more bliss in the world for everybody else.
Yes, I agree 100%. Bliss. I am standing for bliss. I think of the collective consciousness, and there's a certain energy there. And if I'm embodying bliss, then I'm contributing bliss to all of us. It's for us. It's as us. It's in service to others.
I love that, Stephen. And speaking of, I know in your book, you're talking about making moves and transitions. And I think such an important thing to talk about right now. Many of the conversations I have with friends and colleagues and people around the world is a conversation of being burned out on doing things that don't fulfill them. And a lot of people are in the inquiry of, could I make a transition? If I do make a transition, what would that even look like? So talk to us a little bit about what are some of these ways to conquer creating this transition in your life?
Yeah, such a great question. Within that too, I'm present to another inquiry. It's like, what do I do? What would fulfill me? And there's a couple ways to go about that. It usually depends on the person I'm with. Sometimes a really powerful question, like, if I knew exactly what you were doing in 1 year, what would you want me to tell you? Sometimes a question like that can unlock the answer. And it might already be there right in front of us. Like, man, I want to be an author. It's always been there. It's just been fogged up with fear, and I haven't gone for it. I haven't committed myself to it. Other times it's not as clear. It can be nebulous, and it takes a bit of discovering and searching, which was the case for me. And I created something that I now call the Zone of Fulfillment. In my phone, it's in my app, the Notes app, the title, the Zone of Fulfillment. Anytime I feel organically, naturally, really good, just full of joy, blissed out, I write down what I'm doing. And this is what I did.
I love that.
Without overthinking it, it's like the critical component is like, not just write down whatever you're doing. And this is something I did over the course of a few years. And on my list, I had sponsoring people in recovery, mentoring law students, helping people get into shape, inspiring friends, a conversation in the car that moved me and my friend both to tears. There was always this one-on-one contact that I was like, okay, this is a powerful clue. This is going to point me. And then once I discovered coaching was a thing, it was like the spark of insight brought me to life. And that's how it happened for me. So the inquiry before the inquiry, what is it that we do? Once we get clear on what it is we want to do, for me, I was leaving the law and diving into starting my own business as a coach. The first guidepost, really important, where I spend the majority of time in my book, is emotional management. It is incredibly important. So for transitions, this applies to all major life transitions, actually. There's a change event, like we leave the job, we go through a breakup, we move. Something, there's a change event that happens on the external. And then in the internal, within, we each undergo an idiosyncratic emotional transition, which begins well before the change event occurs. And it can be a combination of fear and excitement. For me, some days I would be just so excited and inspired and grateful and alive and optimistic. And then by nighttime, I'd be like, gripped by fear and doubtful and wasn't sure whether I could do it. And those thoughts would just keep me up at night, and I would be looking up part-time jobs and then not do it and look them up and then not do it. And it was a real mix of emotions. And if I hadn't really got intentional about managing my emotions, it may have derailed my path. And I most likely would not have created in the space I'm living now. So emotional management is really important. And without talking about all the different tools we can use, I'll just share what I think to be the most powerful, most effective. Sharing what we're going through in a safe, supportive, and loving space with someone who is equipped to help us grow through whatever we're going through. That has served me so well through all of the transitions in my life, especially the transition from lawyer to coach. Having that space, really effective.
I think that having a mentor or a reciprocal relationship, and it's important to have the reciprocity of a giving and receiving, unless you're hiring somebody like a coach. I know for a lot of people out there who might be tuning in now or in the future, you might be thinking to yourself, gosh, Jennifer, I barely have 2 pennies to rub together, let alone, you know, $200 or however much a coach might cost. And I want to share this. There are many ways to do it. Yes, I find that paying for a coach pays itself off in spades because of the value you get from it. And if you and another friend find yourselves both in a transition or perhaps unemployed, one thing you can do is be accountability buddies. Often just having somebody who listens for your greatness, listens for your success, asks you, how's it going on that blog you're committed to? How's it going? Did you apply for those jobs? Did you need support with that? That's what uplifts us as human beings, is just supporting one another in that activity. And again, if you can have a coach, great. But, and some people even trade. There was somebody I was talking to the other day who, I think she did one thing and her friend was a coach. And so they would trade services. And I think that there's always a way to find your needs and get them met if you're willing to be in the inquiry of how it can work rather than all the reasons why something can't work.
Right on. Resourcefulness. And most of those ways you mentioned are what I did. I did the I'll coach you coach me type arrangement. I did SoFi, the company with which I refinanced my student loans, offered free coaching for their members. So I got coaching through them. How else did I create it that you mentioned? Accountability. I had an accountability partner from a friend who I met while studying coaching at NYU. And some of my close friends in my network. I would call up. I remember my friend Chris, I called up one time. I was just in a phase of doubt. And he just spoke words into me, his belief in me. He's like, you're going to do it. You can do it. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. And just those few words, like, just melted so much fear away and put me back into that space where, yeah, I can do it. How can I do it? Solution-based, growth-oriented inquiry.
And surrounding yourself, right, Stephen, with people who see the best in you. I know for me personally, I didn't have a good sense of myself and I was really critical of myself and quite frankly with other people when I was younger. And so I surrounded myself with people who would be hypercritical of me and I couldn't figure out why things weren't working. And the moment that I brought awareness and I said, who am I spending the most time with? What's it like for them to be around me? And what's it like for me to be around them? And the first thing that I noticed was how much I complained and justified and blamed. And I was like, oh gosh, that must not be fun to be my friend or my colleague. And then I began to shift. And then you start to notice that people may fall away and it's for the good. Sometimes a job or a person or a situation will fall away. And in the moment, it feels terrifying and heartbreaking. And yet it's only when you see in hindsight, you know, 5 years or 5 months down the road that you go, aha, I see why that was actually a miracle in disguise. And I didn't even realize it.
Mm. Yeah, couldn't agree more. People we surround ourselves really can make a difference. And I love how you took responsibility too and expanded your awareness to see how you were showing up and your thinking, your way of thinking. Yeah, I can relate. I can relate. To share a quick story, when I was just starting coaching, I share this in the book too. I had a session, an introductory coaching session with someone I really wanted to work with, and I extended an invitation and she politely declined. And I was like devastated. I went into this whole pattern of thinking of judgment. Like, oh, you're never going to make it. You didn't serve her powerfully enough. And just judgments that produce shame. Mm-hmm. And I was just in like a shame storm. I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown's work, but it's, yeah, me too. So I was in what I believe she would call a shame storm. And I reached out to someone and they were like, they said something that made it amplify. And I was like, I just felt like almost sick to my stomach, to the point where after that conversation, I was like, just couldn't move. I was like lights off, like lying down. I remember I was texting my fiance Kylie. She's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, just lying down in the dark. She's like, why? And then I had a conversation with someone who offered me words of reassurance and helped me grow through what I was going through. And they could really empathize with where I was at and show compassion. And those types of conversations make a world of difference. And so it really gave me a powerful insight at that time to be specific and precise about the people with whom I share about what I'm going through.
So true. And I think another moral of that story, and this is a story we've all been through in our own ways, shapes, and forms, is often when we really want something, whether it's a client we really want to work with, a promotion, the person to fall in love with, our soulmate. You know, one of my teachers said something beautiful years ago. He said, you know what? There are two ways, a couple different ways to get that miracle that you want in your life, personally or professionally. One is to change something about yourself that you don't want to change. And the moment that you change something about yourself, you just drew yourself closer to the miracle because you're going against your very nature. And two is to pass at three different tests. Now, again, this is more of like a metaphorical test. But I found that if somebody gives you something, if I were to give you, Stephen, $1 million, no strings attached, just hand it to you or to one of our listeners right now, in theory, you think, oh, that sounds amazing. I totally want that $1 million. That'll help pay off my college bills, et cetera, et cetera. However, as studies have shown with lottery winners and other people who receive money without earning it, they lose it. And so what we found is when you're given the opportunity to earn something, whether it's money, the promotion, the job, that soulmate, whatever it is that you want, that you feel is going to draw you closer to that bliss, there are going to be three obstacles that you're going to need to have an opportunity to transform your perspective. Because honestly, the miracles are already there. The only thing that's preventing us from experiencing the miracle is our perspective. And it takes overcoming our own limited perspective a minimum of three times to be able to warrant earning that miracle of the dream job or situation or person or a relationship, I guess would be a better way to say that. And when you do that, that's when, boom, miracles become yours, miracle after miracle. And soon you become a miracle making machine.
I love it. Perspective is so powerful. I like to say that one of our superpowers is the power to perceive differently.
So tell me, Stephen, because I think this is such an important thing and we're all being exposed to our perceptions and the ones we didn't even realize we had, our perceptions that are implicit and our perceptions that we actually know we have. What's something we could do to begin to shift our perception?
First, distinguish how we're perceiving what's happening. The circumstances. Is it disempowering or empowering? Is it limiting possibility or opening possibility? Is it creating a state within that feels good? Or is it creating a contraction, a state within that feels bad? Perceptions do two really powerful things. Number one, they create our state of being. So for example, if I wake up and say, today's going to be just awful, I'm going to feel internally emotions congruent with that perception, and it's going to limit what's possible for the day. What are the chances, like, I'm going to go out and make and create a miracle if I'm already convincing myself that today is going to be awful? On the other hand, if I wake up and say today's going to be amazing no matter what, already it feels good. You can just feel the difference even thinking about it hypothetically. So we will then experience emotions internally congruent with that perception. And now the possibility for it to ultimately be an amazing day skyrockets.
I love that. It's so true. And in fact, to reference, there was a show, I think it was late July or early August of 2017, with Gary Douglas that we did on the show. And he taught me about a game called How Does It Get Any Better Than This? And just like you're saying, he said, anytime something even a little bit good happens, you know, you find a nickel or a dime on the ground, most of us would walk right past it. You say out loud, how does it get any better than this? And it's one of my favorite games to play, because when you say it out loud, you've now just shifted your perception and your attention to look for how could it get better rather than how could it get worse. And it's just a fun game that in the midst of a world that is uncertain and things are constantly changing and evolving day by day, moment by moment, what if we all just went out there and played, how does it get any better than this? And just looked for the good in one another and all the circumstances we find ourselves in.
God, I love that. How does it get any better than this?
How does it get any better
than this? You can feel gratitude and possibility. It's just so much with that one intention, one inquiry. Yeah. I'm going to use that. Thank you.
I invite all of our listeners out there. It was a little personal story here. It was a trip. I remember I was playing that game. I had him on the show. It must have been late July or early August. I started playing that game and telling other people about it because I was so inspired by it. And just boom, 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 miracle after miracle. And it was the end of August of 2017. I was not even looking to sell my old company. And I got an email on LinkedIn out of the blue. Hey, Jennifer Hill, we want to buy your company. And I was like, how does it get any better than this? And I have been playing that damn game ever since then. So thank you.
That is amazing and inspiring. Thank you for that gift. I will be using that.
Yeah, please take it, run with it. And definitely I encourage everybody out there listening and watching now or in the future to play it. So, you know, Stephen, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time here. I do want people to know where they can find the book, get all five of the ways to conquer your professional transition. Where would they do that? Tell people where they can find a little bit more information out about you.
Sure. The book is available on Kindle. You can search Amazon and find it there. The five guideposts are emotional management, cultivating a powerful morning mindset, self-care, commitment, and coaching. To learn more about them and to dive deeper into each one, which I would highly recommend, you can find the book. And if you want to reach out to me directly, my email is coach@stephensonato.com. I have a few more free copies to give away, and those will be available first come, first serve.
Amazing. That's so wonderful, Stephen. It's all about paying it forward. And you never know who one person who might get your book, who it might make a difference for. So that's wonderful.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to everybody who is with us here today, tuning in now or in the future. You know, please feel free to give us any sort of feedback. We have a Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. We invite you to check that out. Leave us any comments. We're also always sharing different episodes and press releases and articles on there as well. And you can also check us out on iTunes. If you prefer to listen to it on your car, you can go to iTunes under Get Yourself the Job and leave us any ratings, feedback there. The only way that we can customize this show to meet what you need is for you to give us that feedback. So if you want a show on resume writing, just let us know and we'll make sure to set up a guest for you on that. And thank you for tuning in today. It's been such a pleasure to have you here with us. And if you're interested in some of the other shows that I'm doing, I also invite you to check out a new series on Awake TV Network with Deepak Chopra and Don Hoffman that we're doing. And it's about conversations at the intersection of cutting edge science and spirituality. So if some of the topics that Stephen and I talked about today intrigued you, feel free to check those out. And the latest episode 3 in the series will be airing this Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. on awaketvnetwork.live. And if you're into meditation, another great way to connect to yourself and your bliss, you can find every week we do on awaketvnetwork.live free meditations called the Coalition for Global Unity Meditations. And today's was epic, every Monday at noon. And you can find those. They're also free on the awaketvnetwork.live website. So thank you for everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Stephen, for joining us. And I am wishing everybody health, happiness, and bliss out there for the rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.